Well, tonight I want to share with you an interesting subject. And it's a subject that Al actually shared a little bit about in his fellowship a few weeks ago. And let me give you some background on this. Last year, my son gave me a subscription to, not magazines, but to seeds that I could plant in my garden. So, I would get four of these little packets every month, and they would be maybe seeds that would grow into flowers. I mean, seeds, these little black brown things, you don't know what they're going to turn out. But when they grow, it could be beautiful flowers. It could turn into a watermelon. I mean, it could be anything. And of course, they tell you what it is. And hopefully, it's the right ones, right? Yeah, so, and later on, my daughter Susie gave me, and you can see it for those of you that are here, see it on the credenza in the dining room, is a little hydroponic growing seed grower. And you put the little seed in the thing and it's in the water and it sprouts and all these, it starts growing. You know, we've been putting cilantro in there and other things, and it's been growing. I mean, to me, it's fascinating. You take this little black or brown ball and you put it in the ground and water it, and it grows, little green leaves come up, and eventually, you know, there's a watermelon or cantaloupe or corn or whatever.
Only God,
yeah. My gosh.
The seed is dormant.
Yeah, until you activate it there. So, so as you open these things up, why don't you pass these around, Al. There's different seeds in there, and some of them are maybe the size of a BB, and some of them are like dust. They're so small, so little. And what is so unique about seeds, it's fascinating that in those seeds are wrapped up all the genetic features to produce the flowers, the vegetables, the fruit, whatever it is in this little old seed. Pretty fascinating, huh? So, I'm sharing about seeds because it's interesting what the Word of God says and how it uses seeds to communicate some wonderful truths. And you know, last Sunday I started a series on relationships, and boy, when you talk about relationships and within families and the seeds that carries on from generation to generation, it's quite maintaining the relationships. So, you know, how big was the seed that got us together here? It was so small you couldn't see it. Yeah, you could barely see an egg, but you can't see the sperm seed. They're just too small. And yet, everything is wrapped up in that little seed that makes us who we are. Pretty fantastic how God made life and incorporated seeds to bring life and carry it through, huh? Pretty amazing. So, I want to share some things in light of the Bible talking about seeds, and we may split this up into a couple parts here. But do you know what the largest seed is? Just talking about seeds in general. Think about, what do you think the largest seed is?
Watermelon seeds?
Avocados seeds, maybe like that big.
Mummy.
But what about in Hawaii?
Coconuts.
That's like a bowling ball. The largest seed is actually it's a type of coconut. It's like twice as big as the coconuts we're familiar with. And now the smallest seed is not mustard seed, and it mentions that in the Bible, and I want to address that record in the Bible where Jesus Christ talks about the mustard seed being the smallest seed. So we'll go there, but there are much, much smaller seeds. Your scientist said the smallest seed is tropical orchids.
What?
10 billionth of an ounce.
Wow. Oh my God.
10 billionth of an ounce. So you probably can't even see that.
Yeah. Microscopic.
Yeah, microscopic seed. So pretty fascinating how all that works out. But let's go to Matthew and let's take a look at God's Word and see how God uses seeds and its uniqueness to communicate some wonderful things. So, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. And I think we're going to start in verse 3. Yeah, let's do 13 verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, and because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. So there's going to be a lesson Jesus is teaching, talking about seeds in different situations. And it's interesting, again, when you sow seeds like a corn seed. You know, a corn, one of those little seeds, you put that in the ground and you'll get a stalk and you'll get, most of the time, one nice ear of corn, sometimes two, sometimes three. But how many kernels or seeds are on a cob of corn? Several hundred, I guess. So it's the numbers, how things multiply with seeds and growth, and how God set it up is pretty neat. So now, shall we look at this and figure out what God is trying to communicate here by these seeds being sowed by the wayside, and what does that mean? Anybody have any guesses that they want to try? Or what about the thorns? Anybody want to guess what that means?
Maybe the master teacher will tell us later if we wait.
Well, many of us have had the opportunity to learn some keys on how to work God's Word to rightly divide it, and you don't want to guess and speculate. Many times, if you just read on, the answer shows up. Sometimes you have to go on and on and on, but and then sometimes maybe it's a something that is referred to in a previous record. So. And by the way, I'd like to say that we're going to put together a foundational Bible class and make it available for everybody here, and then folks on the conference call can participate as well. And we're looking into a couple sources of classes that we'll utilize, and probably either end of October, November sometime, we'll run that class. So there'll be all the details and stuff will come out later, but that's something I'd ask for you to pray about, because I think this will be a wonderful opportunity for folks that maybe haven't had the opportunity to have a foundational biblical class that teaches the keys on how the Word interprets itself and how you rightly divide it. So, okay, that was a side note there. So we got these seeds in different predicaments, right? And if we read on, it is explained, and thankfully so. So verse 18. So we get to verse 18, and it says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Verse 19, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." So this is where somebody, maybe they've heard a little bit, but not really understanding. And what happens? The wicked one steals it away from them. Yeah, we see that a lot. Verse 20, "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon," or immediately, "with joy received it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while." So somebody, they receive it, they're excited about it, but they haven't taken the time or whatever to really have it settled, have roots, strong roots of understanding. And so for a while, he's a happy camper. But for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. So people, you know, they get excited about the word, but if they don't have a good foundation on it, and somebody challenges them, and tribulation comes in, and why haven't you believed the word to get healed, and some of these things, then they get offended. Okay, verse 22. "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." So here's someone, they receive the word, they receive the seed, right? The word of God is the seed. And what do they get all excited about?
The world,
the cares of this world, all the news going on, and they get all wrapped up into what's going on here and there and all this stuff. And they get, they also have, their interest is in riches, deceitfulness of riches. And all that does is choke the word, and they become unfruitful. Verse 23, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it." Okay, so he understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. You know, they receive the word, they understand it, obviously they've worked it, they probably, you know, have roots, and they have seen the benefits of it. They have believed God, they believe what the word says, the promises, and they've received the benefits of it. So, isn't that an interesting scenario of events, and it's all about seeds. And the seed is the Word of God. And when you think about a little old seed here, and it surrounds all the inheritance, all the things that will make that item. And so what about the Word of God? The Word of God is so full and complete. It has everything you need to make you who God wants you to be. A son of God, right? A son of God. The Word does the work. The Word does the job. And you don't need anything else. So, pretty amazing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. How seeds are like that. And I forgot to tell you, and this is amazing to me, they took a seed they found 2,000 years old. It was a palm, date palm in Jerusalem, and they planted it and it grew. I mean,
it's 2,000 years and it grew.
And it grew. And there's other seeds, little animals, these little brine shrimp that are in the desert for many, many, many years, and they're like dead, but then you put a little water on them, whew, they come to life.
They say that they're dormant.
Yeah, they're
and
dormant.
As soon as they're the old, like plants in the desert, it could not rain, for drought, wherever. As soon as it rains, no one out there with their seeds, all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amazing. And see, the Word of God can live in us. It can go dormant, but it's so full and so complete that I really think the analogy here and what is being told here, I think communicates. Do you see how that communicates the importance of the Word of God in our life, that we just don't let it be a haphazard by the wayside, or we let the cares of the world dictate our lives. Mm-hmm. But we let the Word of God do that. The Word of God. Well, I'm going to save the rest of this for next week, and we'll look at some other aspects of how the seeds is used to communicate some wonderful truths from God's Word. But I think just what we saw tonight is pretty interesting. Huh?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, pretty neat. God is wonderful. Mm-hmm. For the Word of God is quickly
alive
and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Even to dividing the thunder, soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. Everybody misses the joints and marrow. Can you separate?
No.
It's really hard, isn't it? It's almost impossible. It's impossible.
Almost impossible.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just some of the heart. Yeah. So we've got a wonderful Word, and we want to keep planting it, right? Mm-hmm. Each and every day, and so that it lives, and that the fruit of the Word becomes our fruit. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful Word, and for the privilege we have to be your children, and to believe it, and to walk out on it. Thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Another recording. Okay, here we go. This one is a little along the line of what I just shared.
Sister, keep on sowing the good seed.
will grow on good ground.
The incorruptible seed is the infallible word. It bears fruit when it's planted in fertile earth. When you're sowing the seed, some will fall by the way. The birds from the sky will come and take it away. These people listen, they're not receiving, no. They show up just to be seen. Don't be discouraged,
brother. Keep on sowing the good seed. The fruit of the good seed will grow where good seed is found, sister. Keep on sowing the good seed. Some of the good seed will grow on good ground.
In a field full of stone, no fruit can be grown. When the word goes in one ear and out the other, it's gone. Many people are torn, being choked by the thorns. Life is squeezing their faith, keeping them weary and worn. They the good seed, but choose not to believe. You cannot make them change. Don't be discouraged,
brother. Keep on sowing the good seed. The fruit of the good seed will grow where good seed is found, sister. Keep on sowing the good seed. Some of the good seed will grow on good ground. Good ground is where the people are found. Who will live by the word? Who will lay their life down?
But they're not left alone, because the thorns and the stones are still there. They don't care. Brother,
keep on sowing the good seed. The fruit of the good seed will grow where good seed is found, sister. Keep on sowing the good seed. Some of the good seed will grow on good ground.
Good speed, huh?
Yeah.
All right.